Chapter 8, The Dawn of a New World. Rex teleported back to the command center on the moon base. Crystal named their base Ariel. Rex put it in motion, the machinery to clear the pad for NASA's moon base. He slowly walked to his private quarters and saw Crystal curled up on the lounge, very much engrossed in a book she was reading. "Crystal, babe," Rex startled her. "Oh, Rex," said Crystal, as she cleared her throat. "Hold on, honey. Just give me a couple of minutes. I just have to finish this chapter, sweetheart. It's so interesting." "Fine," Rex replied. "I'll make a tea for us. Chai for me, babe. Only half a teaspoon of cacao this time. Honey, please," Crystal said in a soft voice, ever so sweetly. "Hmm," thought Rex with an inward giggle. "What sort of book is she reading? Must get more of these." Rex took his time getting their tea. Meanwhile, Crystal had finished her chapter and had time to quickly freshen up and was sitting on the lounge waiting, ready for Rex time, as she always called it. "So how was the meeting with Simon on Earth?" inquired Crystal. "You know, I like Simon, Rex. He has an honest heart and he has helped me a lot with information. He features as an advisor on my blog, you know. He is quite a humble man, really." Crystal smiled, thinking deeply as she spoke. "Darling," Rex said, butting in to her deep thoughts, "I have nothing against Simon or NASA. I love their work, and the contribution they have to put into the future of outer space is unquestionably generous. That's not the issue, babe. The fact is, I went to them first, and I know they'll be there at the end. And I do want to help them and our fellow man in any way I can." Rex was cut short with, "But you don't trust them, do you, Rex?" interrupted Crystal. She continued, "You see them as a faltered humans, and some with adverse passions that could harm the moon base or Dawn, maybe, or something," suggested Crystal as she looked at Rex with an "I agree with anything you say look, honey." "Babe, to err is human and to be expected. This also is not the issue. Time usually heals most problems. Not worried about that. Yes, Dawn is a burden that I do not want to carry alone. So I've come up with a scathing idea." Rex grinned cunningly. "Ideas? I love ideas. So what's your brilliant idea?" Crystal inquired with a smile befitting a Cheshire cat. "I want to set up a company and a board of directors to help run everything and help me to make decisions," Rex bravely proclaimed with a great enthusiasm. "Oh, Rex," replied Crystal sarcastically, "I suggested that the first day you teleported me into that bedroom there. You said something like a handshake will do, or something like that," Crystal remarked with a sarcastic edge. "Right, yes, you're right. It just took me time to process it, honey. I do listen to you, really I do," Rex grinned, sipping his tea. He felt a confrontation coming on, a diversion. "That's what I need right now," thought Rex. Quickly, he added, "Oh, this tea is really hot, babe, just like you, and yummy." Rex laughed uneasily. "You don't take me seriously, do you, Rex?" remarked Crystal, squinting her eyes and looking sideways at Rex. Rex knew he was in trouble. "Time to pull out the big guns," he thought. "You're my other half. Without you, I cannot function. You know that, Crystal Watson. I will surely make mistakes, and I rely on your continued wise counsel, not only on the..." "Hey, honey, you know everyone is calling the base Ariel. I love that name. Good choice, babe. A very good choice. Well done. And your work on the Dawn project is one of a kind." "It worked," thought Rex. "That surely did it." Rex was stopped before he could go on. "Okay, babe, enough," interrupted Crystal. "Let's just talk more, okay? I love talking with you, and yes, this chai is a bit hot," agreed Crystal, getting up to add a little soy milk to the concoction she called tea. "What do you think, babe? Board of directors. And who do you think should run it? Remember, it will also comprise the mines, the city being built, the Explorer 1, and Dawn. It will be a big responsibility, Crystal. Do you want to be on the board?" Rex looked at her with a serious frown. 7 board members, right? And you as a director? No, I don't want to be a board member. I think you should go with your original idea that you had many years ago. You told me about it again last year. Seven social structures, not governments, remember? Crystal suggested. Oh, I'd forgotten about that idea. Yes. Religious groups hold four seats, if my memory doesn't fail me. Science, one or the other. And then world political groups, the other two seats. Yeah, I remember. It would be a bizarre board. Capitalists sitting next to communists, Muslims, Christians, cults, even theorists. Yes, what a collection of Earth's heart and soul. It could work, babe. Each group would have to vote in their elected leader and his 2IC. Yes, it would work. Countries don't count, but ideas and concepts do. Yes, babe, let's do it. Do you remember how we did it? Rex asked in a humble fashion. Leave it to me, babe. I'll set it up and you can take the credit for it as usual. Crystal curtly spoke, knowing full well that that's the way it would go down. Say what? Oh, babe, let's just relax. Enough of this for the day. Rex sipped his last mouthful of tea and suddenly he sprang to his feet. He had another brilliant idea. He asked Crystal if she would like to spend a few days on a favourite planet. On the five Earth worlds, they had teleported a self-contained home that Rex had built on Earth with his own private money. Crystal's favourite was Dawn. She named it Dawn on the account that the dawn of this world held an array of two suns and three moons. It was like a dance, and the atmosphere of pristine oxygen made the Torquay sky melt into fluffy white clouds like ice cream. She loved Dawn and made the residence very unique to her taste. It looked like a log cabin inside the big protective blast doors. Rex still maintained a state of sterile carefulness on the new Earth because he did not want to be the person responsible for polluting the planets or leaving a virus on the fresh new worlds. Crystal agreed. It was a great idea. She gathered some clothes together, neatly folding them and placing them in the large trunk she had in readiness for their last time they visited Dawn. Holding hands with a gentle squeeze, they both teleported to the lounge on the observation deck of the cute little home she designed. Crystal opened the large chest and started to unpack some little things for decorations and a few more fluffy pillows. She then hurriedly gathered some compressed waste products left from last time they visited and tucked them into the left of the trunk. That done, they both moved onto the balcony overlooking the moist rainforest from the hilltop residence. Crystal retrieved a bottle of Rex's favourite red wine from the small stock of wines held in the nicely cooled cellar area of the comfortable little home and opened it. She then poured two glasses of the ruby red and seated herself comfortably on the sofa cushioned lounge positioned nicely on the beautiful timbered deck. Then patting the seat next to her, gently tugging at his arm, said softly, "Come, Rex, sit here next to me and relax, honey." Rex is quite happy to do as Crystal said, as they both sip their wine and with a contented sigh, happily watch the sun set together, discussing the events of the day. It would seem Crystal has quite a following on a Facebook page as the girl with a planet to refurbish. Her Facebook is like a peephole into the worlds they go to, and she has become quite the politician, creating order, instigating a whole set of basic rules to govern the worlds she so happily calls home, getting feedback from the millions of people on her Facebook page. The most common rule was simply to respect and show love to their fellow man. No one could beat that rule. Still, the fine print of such a broad mandate she tactfully put together to try to please the mass majority while keeping in mind the thoughts of the individual. She was truly a genius and the right person for the job. Yuwar already knew this, as he often quoted, "Behind every great man is a great little woman." Rex could hardly believe his eyes when a webpage clocked the first billionth visitor. And only last week, and just 2 weeks after a Facebook Dawn, a New World page opened. She says it's close to 2 billion now, and Rex seriously doesn't know how she accomplishes it. He would go nuts with that sort of following. But Crystal is one of a kind and very humble. Babe, we have to bring people here eventually. You know that, don't you? Crystal interrupted my whining about Victor and his demanding nature. Ah, yes, it's inevitable, my darling. Life must go on. And Ravishak would not have given me this power unless he knew I would do as I had always dreamed of doing. And that is? Crystal awaited some answer of a great plan. She had always heard Rex talking of what he would do if the super beings would empower him. And he kind of would rave on, so she sort of tuned off. And now she tried to recall his vision, but it was a bit hazy, so she looked at him with those puppy dog eyes and expected him to now solve all of her worries and give a solution to the world's problems. Well, babe, now I don't know. I thought I did all those years ago, but now seeing the world from a leadership perspective, I really, truly don't know. Rex wept as he held his hands to his face, sinking slowly to the floor. The pressure had finally taken a hold of him. And although he was in a new world with endless possibilities, he virtually snapped and started to weep like a baby. Crystal crouched down beside him and held him closely, taking his hand gently in hers and comforting him. She encouraged him to pour out his heart. She didn't mind seeing him cry like this. She knew it was the best way for him to cleanse his soul, clear his mind. So she let him continue weeping until he slowly stopped. This was not an easy task. Her instincts told her to comfort him now, but her earthly instincts wanted her to pat him and tell him to stop his crying, but she had become quite the healer. She knew how to bring out the best in a person, and shutting down an adult while they wept like that was just not right. Rex composed himself, and Crystal smiled with a gentle look of concern that said, "It's okay. Everything will work out for the good of this earth." She had a remarkable faith in humanity and in Rex, and in his good solid will. "Okay, enough of this. Let's finish this bit of red, babe, and see what's out there again, eh? What if we take a blanket and some chocolate? I want to make love near that stream again, honey, please." Crystal smiled with a cheeky twitch in her eyes. "I was thinking of going upstream a little further this time," Rex grinned. Crystal didn't know it yet, but when they slept here last week, Rex teleported past the stream to a meadow with what looked and smelt like lavender, though it was actually something a little different. Rex had already prepared a bed on the meadow with lace curtains. He teleported there while they finished their last glass of red wine. And with that, he took her hand and kissed her softly as they made their way to the stream and to the meadow beyond. Crystal looked up past the clear stream and onto the meadow. Then she saw the bed, like a cloud floating in the midst, draped lavishly with golden embossed flowers on soft white tulle and lace. She wrapped her arms around Rex's neck and in an excitement of joy jumped into his arms, holding on tightly as he carried her lovingly to the waiting bed, where they made passionate love among the purple haze of flowers that scented the entire field. Like two wild children with zero inhibitions, this world was theirs for the moment. After the walk back to the cabin, hand in hand, they felt a new lease of life on their life together. Maybe it was the plant itself. There was an enhanced feeling every time they made love or exercised, like an adrenaline shot. All Rex knew is that he loved the afterglow, and Crystal always looked more exciting after their passion. Even a wrinkle seemed to clear up. Who knows, thought Rex. Crystal went about doing a bit of computer writing and got a tad bit engrossed as she loved preparing her website with new and fresh ideas. She started to create the page for the seven people who would run the teleport company. Crystal created a round seal with seven slices of a pie. In each slice was a group or body of people: communist, democratic, Muslim, Christian, Catholic, science, and Eastern. She even had a symbol representing each body. It looked great, with a simple ballot box and submit your candidate. The criteria was simple. Each candidate had to have 1,000 people of his group or body to sign a petition of his accepted position as a runner for the position of leader. Rex retired to the lounge and continued writing his book on the concepts he had already imagined, and using a writing program, he hoped it would be a movie one day. As he let his mind elevate, then a voice came to him. It was Rabishak. He had been sent to tell Rex of the coming division and to reveal to him his king. You are. Rex, the voice spoke. Oh, Rabishak, you're welcome, Rex replied. Then the mist came again, and there, standing in front of him, was Rabishak in the flesh. It's okay, Rex. The rules of Earth do not apply on this world. I'm here to tell you of my king, you are. He is the ruler of all the worlds in our Milky Way galaxy. He ordered your genetic change, and he is about to bring Earth into the Federation of Planets. It's all under his protection and dominion, Rabishak proclaimed. Protection? The worlds need protecting? Rex questioned with a queried jest. Yes, Rex. There are dark forces at work in the entire universe and beyond. If they had their way, all life would cease and become void. You have tasted a fraction of their power on Earth. That has been left to all forces, including Victor and his counterpart, Natus, Rabishak explained. Natus? Never heard of such a being. Who's Natus? Rex asked. Natus is Yuar's exiled brother and leader of the rebellion. The universe is not as simple as some would like to think. There are great powers at play, and it's been going on since the beginning. Yuar maintains the balance in this Milky Way. You see, Rex, once a person's antimatter self leaves their body, it cannot be destroyed. It lives forever. The body that possesses can be terminated, but the antimatter body lives in another dimension, and no matter can enter that fifth dimensional world. So the rebels live forever, just like us. It's a fine balance that has been going on forever, smiled Rabishak. The balance. Yes, it does make sense. Well, what do you want me to do? I am for your Federation of Planets and your king you are. I'll right now pledge my loyalty to him and to the Federation. I swear, Rabishak, simply direct me and give me the job to do, and I will do it. Rex practically saluted, thought twice, as it is an Earth custom, and he might take offense. So he simply bowed his head in affirmation to his pledge with his hands across his chest. Rex, you are as right when he chose you to bring the Earth into the Federation. You're a unique mortal. You have not let this power go to your head, and you have maintained your level of leadership. I am impressed with you and my king's choice. He is one of a kind, Rex. You would love to meet him. You two have too much in common already, and I'm sure as time goes on, you will become, like me, an admirer of his benevolent rule. But enough of this. I must tell you of my purpose here. You are asked that you gather as many people as you can to become part of the Federation by using Crystal and her popularity. Get them ready to greet Yuar as he brings his crystal city into an orbit around Earth. They must wear a pyramid on their foreheads to distinguish between us and Natus people. Crystal city? Asked Rex. Pyramid? He mimicked. Yes, Yuar governs from his royal city, but I have to leave the finer details up to you, as each world has a unique birth into the Federation of Planets. How bloody it becomes is up to you mortals. Many will resist Yuar and refuse to be ruled by aliens, as they will put it. But many will be welcomed into the Federation. And you are not to go to any more Earth-like worlds. You seem to have stopped lately, but still, the five you have encountered is the limit that Yuar deems you can manage, Rabishak ordered with a tone of finality. Yes, Rabishak, I understand. As you and Yuar wish. I would love to meet Yuar one day, Rex reiterated. That would be quite impossible, Rex. Yuar rarely goes to the Earth, and I don't think he will be back here again until he brings his city into orbit between your moon and the Earth. Until then, he is very busy with many worlds to govern, but I will give him your best, Rex, and tell him of your allegiance. With that, Rabishak bowed slightly and vanished back into the midst. Crystal was still busy designing a new way to share the wonders of Dawn to her followers and finishing off the seven directors' ballot boxes. oblivious that Rex had just been deep in conversation with Rabishak and had been given the keys to the future, or how to. Well, not how to, but at least a workable plan on what to do, sort of. Rex jumped to his feet and interrupted Crystal with a kiss. He knew this always got her attention. And then he spoke, "Babe, Rabishak just visited, and he told me of their plan for Earth and what we must do." Crystal stopped typing, looked at Rex and said, "Dude, tell me, Rex. I was just creating a feedback blog for my Dawn website and the 7 directed candidate submissions. The people have so many questions and want some sort of answer. Can I help toward your goal, baby? I love being a part of your work. It completes me." Well, that is a gift, thought Rex, feeling very good about himself and his part in all of this. He was about to ask Crystal to use her following admirers to prepare for the Crystal City, and you are to, oh my. Rex broke out as a high-pitched, shocking sound came from his vocal cords. When will your city come to our solar system? He suddenly remembered he had forgotten to ask Rabishak. He continued shouting at the top of his voice, hoping Rabishak was listening. When will the city orbit our Earth, Rabishak? A simple little laugh came back in an echo-type fashion, totally audible. Crystal heard it as well. Oh my God, I heard that. It was a definite laugh, Crystal said, as she hesitated halfway, raising herself to her feet, almost losing her grip on the office desk. A laugh? Darling, why did he laugh at you? Said Rex, with a puzzled look. Me? Thought Crystal, not me, you. Crystal glared at Rex with a queried look as to say, is he not going to tell you? Rex could read the question in her eyes and blurted out, I guess. Now, don't quote me on this, but yes, he's not going to tell us, babe. We're on our own with that one. Rex breathed a sigh of relief. Now, that was really hard, thought Rex, but it had to be said. Crystal was now getting very curious. Rex, what Crystal City orbits our Earth? Inquired Crystal with a grin. I'm tired, babe. Let's go to bed soon, Rex said, changing the subject. Leaning over and taking a deep breath through his nostrils, Crystal continued in almost a whisper, ah, nice. I love the smell of those lavender flowers. Hope you still have some energy left in you, honey. Never mind if you don't. The lavender will perk you up. If you're too tired, we can just kiss and cuddle and dream. Rex couldn't agree more. That sounded just what he wanted to do. Without hesitation, Crystal quietly slipped out of a soft flowing dress, letting it fall to the floor, standing there with a soft glowing smile in a revealing sexing lingerie. It brought an exciting grin to Rex's face, as she was the most beautiful sight to behold, thought Rex. She stepped over a crumpled dress and walked slowly toward Rex, wrapped her arms lovingly around his neck, and eagerly waited to be teleported to that soft bed that was waiting for them both.